Chapter 39, Akrura's Return Journey and His Vision of Vishnu Loka Within the Yamuna River, Part 2. The Lord, accompanied by Akrura and Balaram, traveled in the chariot with great speed toward the bank of the Yamuna. Simply by taking bath in the Yamuna, anyone can diminish the reactions of his sinful activities. Krishna and Balaram took their baths in the river and washed their faces. After drinking the transparent, crystal-clear water of the Yamuna, they took their seats again on the chariot. The chariot was standing underneath the shade of big trees, and the two brothers sat down there. Akrura then took their permission to also take a bath in the Yamuna. According to Vedic ritual, after taking a bath in a river, one should stand at least half submerged and murmur the Gayatri Mantra. While he was standing in the river, Akrura suddenly saw Balaram and Krishna within the water. He was surprised to see them because he was confident that they were sitting on the chariot. Confused, he immediately came out of the water and went to see where the boys were. And he was very much surprised to see that they were sitting on the chariot as before. When he saw them on the chariot, he began to wonder whether he had mistakenly seen them in the water. He therefore went back to the river. This time he saw not only Balaram and Krishna there, but many of the demigods and all the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. They were all bowing down before the Lord. He also saw Lord Sheshanaga with thousands of hoods. Lord Sheshanaga was covered with bluish garments, and his necks were all white. The white necks of Sheshanaga appeared exactly like snow-capped mountains. On the coiled lap of Sheshanaga, Krishna was sitting very soberly, with four hands. His eyes were like the reddish petals of a lotus flower. In other words, after returning to the Yamuna, Akrura saw Balaram had turned into Sheshanag and Krishna had turned into Mahavishnu. He saw the four-handed Supreme Personality of Godhead smiling very beautifully. He was very pleasing to all and was looking toward everyone with a merciful glance. He appeared beautiful with his raised nose, broad forehead, attractive ears, and reddish lips. His arms, reaching to the knees, were very strongly built. His shoulders were high. His chest was very broad, and his neck was shaped like a conch shell. His navel was very deep, and his abdomen was marked with three lines. His hips were broad and big, resembling those of a woman, and his thighs resembled the trunks of elephants. The other parts of his legs, the joints and lower extremities, were all very beautiful. The nails of his feet were dazzling, and his toes were as beautiful as the petals of the lotus flower. His helmet was decorated with very valuable jewels. There was a nice belt around his waist, and he wore a sacred thread across his broad chest. Bangles were on his hands and armlets on the upper portion of his arms. He wore bells on his ankles. He possessed dazzling beauty, and his palms were like lotus flowers. He was further beautified by the different emblems of the Vishnu Murti, the conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, which he held in his four hands. His chest was marked with the particular signs of Vishnu, and he wore fresh flower garlands. All in all, he was very beautiful to look at. Akura also saw his lordship surrounded by intimate associates like the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar, and other associates like Sunanda and Nanda, as well as demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. The nine great learned sages were there, and also devotees like Prahlad and Narada, and the eight Vasus. All were engaged in offering prayers to the Lord with clean hearts and pure words. After seeing the transcendental personality of Godhead, Akura immediately became overwhelmed with joy and with great devotion, and all over his body there was transcendental shivering. Although for the moment he was bewildered, he retained his clear consciousness and bowed down his head before the Lord. With folded hands and faltering voice, he began to offer prayers to the Lord. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 39th chapter of Krishna, entitled Akrura's Return Journey and His Vision of Vishnu Loka Within the Yamuna River. Chapter 40, Prayers by Akura. Akura offered his prayers as follows. My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the supreme cause of all causes, and the original inexhaustible personality, Narayan. From your navel a lotus flower grows, and from that lotus, Brahma, the creator of this universe, is born. Since Brahma is the cause of this universe, you are the cause of all causes. The elements of this cosmic manifestation, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, ego, and the total material energy, as well as nature, the marginal energy, the living entities, the mind, the senses, the sense objects, and the demigods, who control the affairs of the cosmos, are all produced from your body. You are the supersoul of everything, but no one knows your transcendental form. Everyone within this material world is influenced by the modes of material nature. Even demigods like Lord Brahma, being covered by the influence of material nature, do not exactly know your transcendental existence beyond the cosmic manifestation of the three modes of material nature. Great sages and mystics worship you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of all living entities, all cosmic manifestation, and all demigods. They worship you as all-inclusive. Some of the learned Brahmins also worship you by observing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. They offered different kinds of sacrifices in the names of different gods. And there are others also who are fond of worshiping transcendental knowledge. They are very peaceful, and after giving up all kinds of material activities, they engage in the sacrifice known as Jnana Yajna, the philosophical search for you. There are also devotees known as Bhagavats, who worship you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After being properly initiated in the method of Pancharatra, they decorate their bodies with tilak and engage in worshipping your different forms of Vishnumurti. There are others also known as Shaivites, followers of different acharyas who worship you in the form of Lord Shiva. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that worship of demigods is also indirectly worship of the Supreme Lord. But such worship is not orthodox, because the worshipable Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Demigods such as Brahma and Shiva are incarnations of the material qualities, which are also emanations from the body of Narayan. Actually, there was no one existing before the creation except Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The worship of a demigod is not on the same level as worship of Narayan. Akrura said, although the minds of those who are devotees of the demigods are fixed on a particular demigod, because you are the supersoul of all living entities, including the demigods, worship of the demigods indirectly goes to you. Sometimes, after flowing down from the mountains during the rainy season, small rivers fail to reach the sea. Some reach the sea, and some do not. Similarly, the worshippers of the demigods may or may not reach you. There is no guarantee. Their success depends on the strength of their worship. According to Vedic principles, when a worshipper worships a particular demigod, he also conducts some ritual for Narayan, Yageshwara. For it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the demigods cannot fulfill the desires of their worshippers without the sanction of Narayan or Krishna. The exact words used in the Bhagavad Gita are Mayaiva Dhitan Hitan, which mean that the demigods can award being authorized by the Supreme Lord. When a demigod worshipper comes to his or her senses, he or she can reason as follows. The demigods can offer benedictions only after being empowered by the Supreme Lord. So why not worship the Supreme Lord directly? Such a worshipper of the demigods may come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But others, who take the demigods as all in all, cannot reach the ultimate goal. Akura continued to pray. My dear Lord, the whole world is filled with the three material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone within this material world is covered by these modes, from Lord Brahma down to the non-moving plants and trees. My dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are beyond the influence of the three modes. Except for you, everyone is being carried away by the waves of these modes. My Lord, fire is your mouth, the earth is your feet, the sun is your eye, the sky is your navel, and the directions are your ears. Space is your head, the demigods are your arms, the oceans and seas are your abdomen, and the wind and air are your strength and vitality. All the plants and herbs are the hairs on your body. The clouds are the hair on your head. The mountains are your bones and nails. The days and nights are the blinking of your eyelids. Prajapati, the progenitor, is your genitals, and the reins are your semen. My dear Lord, all living entities, including different grades of demigods and different grades of overlords, kings, and other living entities, are resting in you as parts and parcels of the big unit. One cannot know you by experimental knowledge. One can simply understand your transcendental existence to be like the great ocean in which different grades of living entities are included, or like the Udambara fruit out of which small mosquitoes come. My dear Lord, whatever eternal forms and incarnations you accept when you appear in this world are meant for relieving the living entities of their ignorance, illusion, and lamentation. All people, therefore, can appreciate the incarnations and pastimes of your Lordship and eternally glorify your activities. No one can estimate how many forms and incarnations you have, nor can anyone estimate the number of universes that are existing within you. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the fish incarnation, who appeared in the ocean of devastation, although your Lordship is the cause of all causes. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Hayagriva incarnation, who killed the two demons Madhu and Kaitava. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appeared as the gigantic tortoise that held up the great mountain Mandara, and who appeared as the boar that rescued the earth planet which had fallen into the water of the Garbhodak. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto your Lordship, who appeared as Narsingadev to deliver all kinds of devotees from the fearful condition of atheistic atrocities. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appeared as Vamanadev and who covered the three worlds simply by extending your lotus feet. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appeared as the Lord of the Bhrigus, in order to kill all the infidel administrators of the world. And let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appeared as Lord Ram, to kill demons like Ravan. You are worshipped by all devotees as the chief of the Raghu dynasty, Lord Ramachandra. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appear as Lord Vasudeva, Lord Sankarshan, Lord Prajumna, and Lord Aniruddha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appear as Lord Buddha, to bewilder the atheistic and demoniac. And let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who appear as Kalki, to chastise the so-called royal order, degraded to the abominable condition of the Melechas, who are below the jurisdiction of Vedic regulative principles. My dear Lord, everyone within this material world is conditioned by your illusory energy. Under the impression of false identification and false possession, everyone is transmigrating from one body to another on the path of fruitive activities and their reactions. My dear Lord, I am no exception among these conditioned souls. I am also falsely thinking myself happy in possessing my home, wife, children, estate, property, and friends. In this way, I am acting as if in a dreamland, because none of these are permanent. I am a fool to be always absorbed in thoughts of such things, accepting them as permanent truths. My dear Lord, due to my false identification, I have accepted as permanent everything which is non-permanent, such as this material body, which is not spiritual, and which is the source of all kinds of miserable conditions. Being bewildered by such concepts of life, I am always absorbed in thoughts of duality, and I have forgotten you, who are the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. I am bereft of your transcendental association, being just like a foolish creature who leaves a water spot covered by water-nourished vegetation and goes in search of water in the desert. The conditioned souls want to quench their thirst, but they do not know where to find water. They give up the spot where there is actually a reservoir of water and run into the desert where there is no water. My dear Lord, I am completely incapable of controlling my mind, which is now driven by the unbridled senses and which is attracted by fruitive activities and their results. Therefore, my intelligence is very miserly. My dear Lord, your lotus feet cannot be appreciated by any person in the conditioned stage of material existence. But somehow or other, I have come near your lotus feet, and I consider this to be your causeless mercy upon me. You can act in any way because you are the supreme controller. I can thus understand that when a person becomes eligible to be delivered from the path of repeated birth and death, it is only by your causeless mercy that he comes nearer to your lotus feet and becomes attached to your devotional service. Akura fell down before the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, your transcendental eternal form is full of knowledge. Simply by concentrating one's mind upon your form, one can understand in full knowledge everything that be. Because you are the original source of all knowledge, you are the supreme, powerful, possessing all kinds of energies. You are the supreme Brahman and the supreme person, the supreme controller, and the master of the material energies. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are Vasudeva, the resting place of all creation. You are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are also the Supreme Soul residing in everyone's heart. And you are giving direction how to act. Now, my Lord, I am completely surrendered unto you. Please give me protection. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 40th chapter of Krishna, entitled Prayers via Krura. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to sing this next bhajan to Giselle and her sons. Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Prahlada Prahlada Gayani, Prahlada Prahlada Dayani, Hiranya Kashipur Bhakshaha, Hiranya Kashipur Bhakshaha, Hiranya Kashipur Bhakshaha, Shila Changana Kalae, Shila Changana Kalae, Shila Changana Kalae, Ito Narsingha Padatu Narsingha, Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsingha, Bahi Narsingha Pridaye Narsingha, Narsingha Manim Sharanam Prapaji, Narsingha Manim Sharanam Prapaji, Narsingha Manim Sharanam Prapaji, Narsingha Manim Sharanam Prapaji, Narsingha Manim Sharanam Prapaji. Tava Kara Kamalava Reina Kam Adabhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Nadahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare
So I want to welcome all of you who have joined tonight's webcast.